Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prestaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta, Swaminiti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatyat Deshatarane. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, this science of self-realization are excerpts from Back to Godhead magazines. And these are considered like the topmost from all the Back to Godhead magazines. So, the publisher says, on hearing the word guru, we tend to envision a caricature-like image, a bizarre-looking old fellow with a long, stringy beard and flowing robes, meditating on distant, esoteric truths. Or we think of a cosmic con man cashing on young seekers' spiritual gullibility. But what really is a guru? What does he know that we don't? How does he enlighten us? In a talk given in England 1973, Srila Prabhupada provides some enlightening answers. So you see, Prabhupada opens with the standard mantra, Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my guru, my spiritual master, opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. The word Ajnana means ignorance or darkness. If all the lights in this room immediately went out, we would not be able to tell where we were or others are sitting. Everything would become confused. Similarly, we are all in darkness in this material world, which is a world of tamas. Tamas or timira means darkness. This material world is dark, and therefore it needs sunlight or moonlight for illumination. However, there is another world, a spiritual world, that is beyond this darkness. That world is described by Sri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Na tadba sayate suyo, na shashanko na pavaka, yad gatva na nivartante tad dhamma paramang mama. That abode of mine is not illumined by the sun nor moon nor by electricity. One who reaches it never returns to this material world. The guru's business is to bring his disciples from darkness to light. So that is very important point. At present, everyone is suffering due to ignorance, just as one contracts a disease out of ignorance. If one does not know hygienic principles, he will not know what will contaminate him. Therefore, due to ignorance, there is infection, and we suffer from disease. A criminal may say, I did not know the law, but he will not be excused if he commits a crime. Ignorance is no excuse. Similarly, a child, not knowing that fire will burn, will touch the fire. The fire does not think, this is a child, and he does not know I will burn. No, there is no excuse. Just as there are state laws, there are also stringent laws of nature, and these laws will act despite our ignorance of them. If we do something wrong out of ignorance, we must suffer. This is the law. Whether the law is a state law or a law of nature, we risk suffering if we break it. So, when I was taking my shower, maybe last night, Krishna was telling me to read from this book. And then the next thought came, yes, this is probably very good for future preaching. I should study this book more and more. You like so far?
Yes, sir.
Good. The guru's business is to see that no human being suffers in this material world. Wow, so that's, wow. No one can claim that he is not suffering. That is not possible. In this material world, there are three kinds of suffering: adhyatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika. These are miseries arising from the material body and mind, from other living entities, and from the forces of nature. We may suffer mental anguish, or we suffer from other living entities, from ants or mosquitoes or flies, or we may suffer due to some superior power. So, a couple of years ago, I gave a class on these three miseries, adhyatmika, and then I said, but now there's a fourth misery, aditechnika. Our cell phones, our computers. Just like my wife, the computer at home has been out for like 5 days. So everybody's in anxiety. So now that's become, we're so dependent on technology. There may be no rain, or there may be flood. There may be excessive heat or excessive cold. So many types of suffering are imposed by nature. Thus, there are three types of miseries within the material world, and everyone is suffering from one, two, or three of them. No one can say that he is completely free from suffering. We may then ask why the living entity is suffering. The answer is, out of ignorance. He does not think, I am committing mistakes and leading a sinful life. That is why I'm suffering. Therefore, the guru's first business is to rescue his disciple from this ignorance. We send our children to school to save them some suffering. If our children do not receive an education, we fear that they will suffer in the future. The guru sees that suffering is due to ignorance, which is compared to darkness. How can one in darkness be saved? By light. The guru takes the torchlight of knowledge and presents it before the living entity enveloped in darkness. That knowledge relieves him from the sufferings of the darkness of ignorance. One may ask whether the guru is absolutely necessary. The Vedas inform us that he is. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva bhigacchet. Samit pani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. The Vedas enjoin us to seek out a guru. Actually, they say to seek out the guru, not just a guru. The guru is one because he comes in disciplic succession. What Vyasadeva and Krishna taught 5,000 years ago is also being taught now. There is no difference between the two instructions. Although hundreds and thousands of acharyas have come and gone, the message is one. The real guru cannot be two, for the real guru does not speak differently from his predecessors. Some spiritual teachers say, in my opinion, you should do this. But this is not a guru. Such so-called gurus are simply rascals. The genuine guru has only one opinion, and that is the opinion expressed by Krishna, Vyasadeva, Narada, Arjuna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Goswamis. 5,000 years ago, Lord Sri Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and Vyasadeva recorded it. Vyasadeva did not say, this is my opinion. Rather, he wrote, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, whatever Vyasadeva wrote was originally spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Vyasadeva did not give his own opinion. Consequently, Srila Vyasadeva is a guru. He does not misinterpret the words of Krishna, but transmits them exactly as they were spoken. If we send a telegram, the person who delivers the telegram does not have to correct it, edit it, or add to it. He simply presents it. That is the guru's business. The guru may be this person or that, but the message is the same. Therefore, it is said that guru is one. In the disciplic succession, we simply find repetition of the same subject. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmana matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee, offer obeisances, and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. These very instructions were reiterated by all the acharyas, such as Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The six Goswamis also transmitted the same message, and we are simply following in their footsteps. There is no difference. We do not interpret the words of Krishna by saying, in my opinion, the battlefield of Kurukshetra represents the human body. Such interpretations are set forth by rascals. There Prabhupada is criticizing Mahatma Gandhi. Yeah, because Prabhupada used to be his follower before Bhakti Siddhanta. So that, and that's what Mahatma Gandhi used to say, that Kurukshetra means the body, the five Pandavas are the five senses. In other words, giving his own interpretation. In the world, there are many rascal gurus who give their own opinion, but we can challenge any rascal. A rascal may say, I am God, or we are all God. That is all right, but we should find out from the dictionary what the meaning of God is. Generally, a dictionary will tell us that the word God indicates the Supreme Being. Then we may ask such a guru, are you the Supreme Being? If he cannot understand this, then we should give the meaning of supreme. Any dictionary will inform us that supreme means the greatest authority. We may then ask, are you the greatest authority? Such a rascal guru, even though proclaiming himself to be God, cannot answer such a question. God is the supreme being and the highest authority. No one is equal to him or greater than him. Yet there are many guru gods, many rascals who claim to be the supreme. Such rascals cannot help us escape the darkness of material existence. They cannot illumine our darkness with the torchlight of spiritual knowledge. The bona fide guru will simply present what the supreme guru, God, says in a bona fide scripture. A guru cannot change the message of the disciplic succession. We must understand that we cannot carry out research to find the absolute truth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, my guru Maharaj, my spiritual master, considered me a great fool. He who remains a great fool before his guru is a guru himself. Oh my God, that's brilliant. I'm going to repeat that for the tape. He who remains a great fool before his guru is a guru himself. However, if one says, I am so advanced that I can speak better than my guru, he is simply a rascal. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, Evang parampara praptam imang rajarshayo vidu Sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. The supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Taking on a guru is not simply a fashion. One who is serious about understanding spiritual life requires a guru. A guru is a question of necessity, for one must be very serious to understand spiritual life. God, proper action, and one's relationship with God. When we are very serious about understanding these subjects, we need a guru. We shouldn't go to a guru simply because a guru may be fashionable at the moment. Surrender must be there, for without surrender, we cannot learn anything. If we go to a guru simply to challenge him, we will learn nothing. We must accept the guru just as Arjuna accepted his guru, Sri Krishna himself. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichchami twang dharma samuddacheta yat shreyasya nichchitang bruhitan me shishyaste hung shadimang twang prapanam. Now I am confused about my duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. This is the process for accepting a guru. The guru is Krishna's representative, the former Acharya's representative. Krishna says that all Acharyas are his representatives. Therefore, the guru should be offered the same respect one would offer to God. As Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his prayers to the spiritual master, Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasada. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the benediction of Krishna. Thus, if we surrender to the bona fide guru, we should surrender to God. God accepts our surrender to the guru. Boy, he's answering so many questions in this one. This is a lecture he gave. It's amazing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs, Sarva dharman parityajya mame kang sharanang vraja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo moksha yishyami ma shucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Someone may argue, where is Krishna? I shall surrender to him. But no, the process is that we first surrender to Krishna's representative. Then we surrender to Krishna. Therefore, it is said, Sakshad Haritvena Samasta Shastrai. The guru is as good as God. When we offer respects to the guru, we are offering respects to God. Because we are trying to be God conscious, it is required that we learn how to offer respects to God through God's representative. In all the shastras, the guru is described to be as good as God. But the guru never says, I am God. The disciple's duty is to offer respect to the guru just as he offers respect to God. But the guru never thinks, my disciples are offering me the same respect they offer to God, and therefore I have become God. As soon as he thinks like this, he becomes a dog instead of God. Notice, same words, same letters. Therefore, Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, Kintu Prabhoya Priya Evatasya. Because he is the most confidential servitor of God, the guru is offered the same respect that we offer God. God is always God. Guru is always guru. As a matter of etiquette, God is the worshipable God, and guru is the worshipper God, Sevaka Bhagavan. Therefore, the guru is addressed as Prabhupada. The word Prabhu means Lord, and Pada means position. Thus, Prabhupada means he who has taken the position of the Lord. This is the same as Sakshad Harit Vena Samasta Shastriya. So this is, I might have heard this, but there's another definition of Prabhupada, the one that I normally use, and that is, there may be many devotees, and there may be many people, but they're all taking shelter of a superior devotee, Prabhupada. So this is an alternate. What? What's Acharya? Yeah, that's Acharya. One who teaches by example.
And this Vishwanath Chakravarti is the author for the Guru Vandana.
Yeah, yeah. As well as other things. Yeah, this is good. I'm really glad Krishna gave me this. This is good. This article especially. Only if we are very serious about understanding the science of God is a guru required. We should not try to keep a guru as a matter of fashion. One who has accepted a guru speaks intelligently. He never speaks nonsense. That is the sign of having accepted a bona fide guru. Wow. We should certainly offer all respects to the spiritual master, but we should also remember how to carry out his orders. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna himself tells us the method of seeking out and approaching the Guru. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. The first process is that of surrender. We have to find an exalted person and willingly surrender before him. The Shastras enjoin that before we take a guru, we study him carefully to find out whether we can surrender to him. We should not accept a guru suddenly out of fanaticism. That is very dangerous. The guru also should study the person who wants to become a disciple to see if he is fit. That is the way a relationship is established between the guru and disciple. Everything is provided, but we must take up the process seriously. Then we can be trained to become a bona fide disciple. First, we must find a bona fide guru, establish our relationship with him, and act accordingly. Then our life will be successful, for the guru can enlighten the sincere disciple who is in darkness. Everyone is born a rascal and a fool. If we are born learned, why do we need to go to school? If we do not cultivate knowledge, we are no better than animals. An animal may say that there is no need of books and that he has become a guru, but how can anyone obtain knowledge without the study of authoritative books on science and philosophers? Rascal gurus try to avoid these things. We must understand that we are all born rascals and fools and that we have to be enlightened. We have to receive knowledge to make our lives perfect. If we do not perfect our lives, we are defeated. What is that defeat? The struggle for existence. We are trying to obtain a better life, to attain a superior position, and for this we are struggling very hard. But we do not know what a superior position actually is. Whatever position we have in this material world must be given up. We may have a good position or a bad position. In any case, we cannot remain here. We may earn millions of dollars and think, now I am in a good position. But a little dysentery or cholera will finish our position. If the bank fails, our position is gone. So actually, there is no good position in this material world. It is a farce. Those who try to attain a better position in the material world are ultimately defeated. because there is no better position. The Bhagavad Gita says what the better position is. Mang chayovi abhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service at once transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. Is there any science that gives us the knowledge by which we may become immortal? Yes, we may become immortal, but not in the material sense. We cannot receive this knowledge in so-called universities. However, there is knowledge contained in the Vedic scriptures by which we may become immortal. That immortality is our better position. No more birth, no more death, no more old age, no more disease. Thus, the guru takes on a very great responsibility. He must guide his disciple and enable him to become an eligible candidate for the perfect position, immortality. The guru must be competent to lead his disciple back home, back to Godhead.